2-2-2-3. I'm smacking it around.
I'm smacking Chili's with Chinese Chechen children after they were trampled by chainsaw chasing chipmunk.
Chili's charbroiled cheeseburgers. Chili's charbroiled cheeseburgers.
Charlemagne.
Charleston Chew. Charleston,
Charleston
Chew.
Charleston Chew. Chew.
Charleston Chew.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned 4 specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called...
Yeah, welcome to Stab. Welcome. Oh my God. Look at this set we built for you guys.
Stab.
Here at the Piano Theater, 144 Taylor Street, San Francisco, California. I don't know the zip code, but we have a very good show for you tonight. Thank you for coming. Are you ready to meet your contestants? Are you? It's not a rhetorical fucking question. Answer it now. Please welcome to stage DJ Real. DJ Real. DJ Real, thank you for coming. Lindy West, she's over there also in the crowd. Half of our crowd is coming up. And last but not least, Jesse Jones. He is all over this thing. Welcome, guys. Thank you for coming.
Thanks
Hello.
For having us.
Hi.
So happy to be here.
Hey there.
Are you really? Or are you just...
Yeah.
You could be honest with me.
This is a good exercise. I'm happy to be part of it.
Well, thank you. DJ Real, should I call you that?
Just call me Nick.
Nick?
Yeah, it's my parents call me DJ Real.
Is that German? I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is either.
Greek?
Real?
Yeah.
What is that? Is that French?
Yeah,
Canadian?
Real? I don't know.
Real?
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Well, thank you for being here. Nick,
sure.
He's our biggest get thus far.
He's been
all over the internet.
That's true.
You've opened for Devo.
I have opened for Devo. That's
oh.
true.
Yeah. What else have you? What's the most recent thing that you want to brag about and make me feel bad about?
I don't know.
About success.
I did Outside Lands last year.
You did Outside Lands last.
Yeah,
what about this year?
Fun. Not this year. They don't. Oh. They didn't like it.
They didn't.
I don't
like
know.
It
I don't
well.
Know if they liked it or not.
Thank you. Well, thank you for being here. I don't know if you knew this about DJ Real. He ain't no mountain high enough. So there's that. We're gonna move to Lindy West. Lindy West. She's right there up in the middle. Hi, Lindy.
Hi.
How are you? You
All
could
right.
you talk right into that microphone.
I can talk right
real
into
loud.
It. Okay.
You're welcome.
I'm
to do
shy.
That. Very good.
I'm microphone shy.
Very good. Welcome to the Tenderloin.
Thank you.
Did you enjoy the walk from your car?
I did, sort of.
Did you? Was it scary?
It was an adventure. I had to watch out for my feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do have to watch out for your feet. You don't wear flip-flops on the Tenderloin.
That's what I was told.
That's like praying for...
I know.
STDs.
Bad things to happen.
Well, thank you very much for being here, Lindy thank West. You. Lindy West. Yeah. I don't know if you knew this about Lindy West. She has seen better. She's seen better. Jesse Jones, he's on the end.
Hi.
Again, he's our anchor.
Yeah. Drag it down.
I don't know. I don't know what that would make you two. The hole. The bow. Maybe. Jesse's our anchor. Jesse, thank you for being here.
Sure.
This is Jesse's 80th something show. How many shows have you been on?
I actually looked at it yesterday.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Well, I didn't last time, otherwise I would have mentioned it. This is technically the 101st.
This is our 101st show that you've been on?
That I've been on.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah.
He's more of a barnacle than an anchor.
I think that's truer.
Yeah. Old crusty ass.
Yeah. Difficult to get rid of.
Well, Jesse, thank you
more of a hindrance than an asset.
Thank you for giving your time to the show. I don't know if you knew this about Jesse Jones. He's quite agreeable. Quite agreeable.
It's not true.
Let's play Stab.
Let's play.
Watch him.
like your sound effects.
Do you like our sound effects? Thank you.
Okay. Did you make that with your mouth? Yeah.
No,
go.
I didn't.
There
but
we go.
I can.
You didn't? Is that, yeah, you can. There we go.
Mm.
Yeah. Tasty.
I feel sick. This first segment, it's called This Was Today Once. DJ Real, on this date, 1990. Sue, the largest, most complete Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton was found and discovered by a lady named Sue Hendrickson in South Dakota. You know what else happened on this very date? IBM introduced PC and PC DOS version 1.0. How did you celebrate these aforementioned events in tandem?
It was tough trying to figure that out, but...
yeah? Well, good.
First of all, I'd like to correct the facts here. Sue Hendrickson from South Dakota didn't actually find a full T-Rex skeleton in 1990.
Well, take it up with Wikipedia.
That is a fabrication made up by scientists. There is no proof that dinosaurs ever existed. Show me just one dinosaur. You can't, can you? That's because they're not real, is what a creationist would say. Okay, that was funnier in my head. well, using my PC,
yes,
I would treat it as an occasion to revisit my favorite adult internet video, Pterodactyl Dinosaur Spermoplasmoids, more commonly known as Attack of the Flying Lizards. I don't know if you guys have seen this on the internet. Joe Gorman, have you seen this on the internet? Yeah, he has.
Thumbs up.
Of course he has. Yeah, a big smile. Big creepy smile. As many of you know, pterodactyls are not T-Rexes or dinosaurs. But let's not get caught up in semantics. Instead, let's get caught up in the hot, steamy, reptilian, on-human penetration. First of all, this is actually like a real thing. I looked it up on X-Hamster. Is that the website? X-Hamster?
Why did you look at me when you're like...
I looked at...
Yes, that's a
site. The audience,
yes.
Too. Yeah, that's because you are all dirty. I like weird pornos, you know? And this one was very weird. It involves a group of pterodactyls having their way with a woman who happens to be wandering around in the woods at night. There's a pterodactyl puppet who breaks the fourth wall and is, like, looking... at the you as an audience, but he's like looking right at the camera while there's like an orgy in the background with these pterodactyl men with like human penises. It's very strange. Anyway, that's how I would celebrate.
It was yeah. Puppets and not like old school claymation.
No. Yeah. There was one puppet and then three men in costumes.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
And they were like making sounds and everything. Like, yeah, you could look it up. If you want.
So that's how you would celebrate.
That's how I would celebrate.
Oh, well, thank you very much, DJ. Sure. DJ Real. Thank you very much for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A link to that video will be on our website. Lendi West.
Yes.
You're in the middle. It's your turn.
Yay.
On this date, 1883, the last quagga dies in the Artist Magisteria Zoo in Amsterdam, Netherlands. Also on this date, 1972, Del the Funky Homo Sapien, American rapper, producer, part of the Gorillaz, 3030, Deltron, Hieroglyphics, was born. How did you celebrate these two events in tandem also?
Well, I found this very interesting because I happen to be well-educated in the quagga.
Quagga.
Which is a subspecies of the Serengeti zebra. And then Del the Funky Homo Sapien is just a really cool dude. And so I celebrate these two happenings in tandem annually. And I kick off my day of funky extinction by drinking my coffee while watching the Serengeti episode of Planet Earth naked. Because that's just how I get down, right? And then then I clothe myself, and I take out my ghetto blaster from 1983, and I blast Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive while I ride my neighbor's Zorse, because that's the closest thing I'll get to the quagga. And I drink a kombucha, because that's just how I am. But I paper bag it, guys, don't worry. And I write about the township while yelling, "This is my hybrid! I'm iller than most!" And then I just go home and I eat a bagel. And that's about my day.
That sounds like a that's good...
Every year, August 7th, or 12th. What's today?
12th. It's 12th. The 12th of August.
It's one of those days.
Very good. Thank you for doing that today. Appreciate it. Yeah. Lenny West. Jesse Jones on this date, 1955.
That's what I called it.
1955. President Eisenhower increases minimum wage from 75 cents an hour to a buck.
Yeah.
Also on this date, 1960, Ralph Boston of the U.S. sets the long jump record at 26 feet, 11 inches. How did you do things in regards to these happenings?
Well, you know, today started out like any other day, really. I got up, rolled out of bed, kissed my 2.4 children, Trevor and Teresa, and little Two-Fifths, and went off to work. I liked it, I don't care. Then, then after I pulled in, punched in, and got all situated, I threw four whole quarters, nearly 27 feet. But was I happy? No. I mean, not too long ago, I only had three quarters to throw, and I had to throw them almost twice as far. That wasn't until a bunch of my fellow ungrateful coin-throwing brethren decided to get together and bully our kind, loving bosses out of an extra quarter per throw. And of course, almost immediately after I got it, I just started belly aching and complaining about how I just couldn't survive throwing one measly dollar almost 27 feet. All I could think was, wah, 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 I deserve more. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Knowing full well, if I was ever at all honest with myself, that whatever I was lucky enough to get in the first place was already more than I deserved. I mean, had I ever thanked these thoughtful, generous, handsome board members who had given me this coin-throwing opportunity? Had I ever been thankful for anything I'd ever gotten in my entire pointless, pathetic little life? Or was it all just nom, 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 let me suckle on the teat of generosity and then say it's not enough when I'm done? Pretty soon, I just know I'm going to want eight quarters to throw 13 feet 5.5 inches, and I'm going to want breaks like every 15 fucking minutes while I'm doing it. And where does it stop? When is too much enough? I mean, just how much do I think I'm entitled to? Maybe if I just applied myself and learned to stop blaming others for my shortcomings, someday I'd be the one giving coins to someone else to throw. And then I'd understand what it felt like being made the villain by some ungrateful people that are just trying to help. But no, I'm just going to keep complaining about the coins I get and how I might have to throw coins at two or three other coin places just to earn enough coins to throw coins at the things I want to throw coins at. Then I took some Advil because my metaphor got a little twisted up. And I'm not sure if I was still keeping up with the really complicated message that I wasn't even sure I was still making anymore.
Very good, Jesse. That was. This was Today Once. Did you like that one? Was that loud? Is it too loud for you guys out there? How are you guys doing?
No.
We're not sure if you're awake. We're not sure if. Very good. This next segment is called Reorganization. Gentle persons to my right, please take this existing acronym, reimagine it. What does it now represent? Who does it now stand for? In celebration of all the sports going on right now in Brazil, today's acronym is RIO, R-I-O, DJ Nicholas Real. what does RIO mean to you, R-I-O? What does that now mean?
Okay, R-I-O is Reconfigurable Input Output. It's already an existing thing, but I think it's becoming even more important today. So as our technology advances, so will humanity and biohacking. Gender will be a modular option in the next 25 years, right? So reconfigurable input, output. So at this moment, Genetech has a subdivision currently working on this very thing. They are growing organic genitalia, penises and vaginas, growing them in petri dishes for use as both modular genitals and bio companions. So imagine, if you will, a Tamagotchi or digital pet, but in the form of an organic growing penis or vagina. You have to feed it, take care of it, or it'll die. So it's like a kind of like a little companion, right?
Right.
Did I lose anybody here?
No.
So it's got like a little tiny heart, and it's like got hair growing on it. It's, you know, you gotta take care of it. You gotta love it. So I think Genentech is really onto something. The moral implications are extremely gray, like the flesh of an unnourished genital biopet. That's all I got.
That sounds wonderful.
That's an RIO.
RIO.
Yeah.
Regenerative.
Reconfigurable input output.
That sounds great. Well, look, we're in San Francisco. We'll look into that. Yeah. We can get some tech bros on it. Yeah. I think it'll happen. Very good. Thank you.
The marketable name being We Friends. We Friends. We Friends.
Lindy.
Yes-y.
What is Rio?
Okay, I did two, because I thought we were supposed to be, like, Olympic Games specific.
Okay.
So the first one, let's see, I did rabid inadequate officiousness, which is basically, you know, like, pointless anger towards, like, athletes, you know, because I see, I don't know if you guys know, but everyone sits in front of their TV screen like, she could have landed better, you know what right. I mean, like she moved a foot, so and everyone's hella judgy, so I just feel like that's what everyone is doing right now with their hands deep into a tower of Pringles while they watch the Olympics. And then the other one was radically indecent obtrusion because of that dude that snapped his leg in half.
Right?
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was hella rude of him, right? Like, how dare he on television? Oh, that was awful. That was awful. So those are my Rios.
Very good. Lindy. West. Rio. Jesse Jones, what does Rio mean to you?
Well, right now, obviously, Rio represents the gathering of the extraordinary, a group of people at the height of their abilities competing for supremacy in their respective disciplines. Meanwhile, RIO represents another group of people on the exact opposite end of the spectrum, the really intensely ordinary.
Okay. Yeah.
It's Friday night, the whole Smith family just wrapped up an intensely ordinary week. Little Billy brought home his report card. Straight B's once again. A set of perfectly acceptable grades, which his father Bob rewarded with a crisp $5 bill that is immediately added to Billy's new school shoes fund. Daughter Jill is working on her science fair project, a baking soda volcano. Which she expects to dribble just the appropriate amount of sudsy lava to get her acknowledged, but not celebrated. Tonight's banquet of Friday leftovers was nutritionally adequate and tasted just fine. Bob is looking forward to 45 to 90 seconds of mostly silent missionary intercourse. A little later on with his wife, Susan, which is really about as much as she can stand and is more than enough to hold Bob over for another 6 to 8 weeks until their marital obligations will inevitably be revisited again. With all the passion that two people who completely abandoned their dreams long ago for what was expected of them by society can possibly muster. And interestingly, but unrelated, RIO also stands for racially insensitive orphans. who often wind up never being adopted for really obvious reasons.
Very good. That was reorganization. This next segment, it is called the top five Google searches of. This is a segment where we take the top five Google searches from someone in your life this week, or this episode. We'll be doing the top five Google searches from your mom. From your mom's. What would your mom, if your mom could search Google, what would she search? We'll do one at a time and cycle through the top five. DJ, what's your first?
Oh, we're just doing one at a time
one
and then
time.
Going two and then
correct.
Three. Oh, it doesn't work that
well,
way.
Well, if, okay. If you'd like to do all five, you may do that if you have built
okay, no, this will be fine. This will be fine.
Okay.
So this is about my mom. Okay. Why is my son slightly embarrassed when I'm the only person that likes something when he posts it online. That's the number.
That's the number.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, Wendy? For my mother, it's coupon websites.
Yeah.
First Google search from my mom. Is there such a thing as too many trophy cases in one home?
All right. Let's go to the second pass.
How many Facebook post likes should I wait for before selecting the like button on my son's Facebook post? Is one okay?
All right. Very good.
All right. For my mother, it's grand dog groups, Chihuahua specific.
Number two, Pinterest ideas. Can you make a scrapbook of full scrapbooks?
Third.
Three. All right. Is the Facebook love button too much? I don't want to smother my son, but want him to know that I love him and I'm proud of his accomplishments.
Oh, it's very sweet.
It's very sweet. Yeah.
Mrs. Real.
For my mom, it's how far out is my daughter really when she says, on my way?
An hour late is an hour. You're an hour away.
T-shirts or coffee mugs with the slogan, being a grandma is overrated anyway.
Number four.
Is there a way to have Facebook automatically select the like button on my son's post after at least one other person has selected a reaction, but before my ex-husband's girlfriend can select like? She's not his mom. I am. She has no reason to be proud of him. She has nothing to be proud of unless you count ruining my relationship with my now ex-husband.
Very good.
Good.
All right. Lindy, you're fourth.
Three ingredient recipes.
Is it possible I accidentally blocked one specific phone number? I think that implies I don't call.
Right. Yeah. And you're fifth of five.
Why do Black Lives Matter? You thought it was going to be about Facebook, but it wasn't.
It wasn't. It was, I mean, it sort of was.
I guess right. So, yeah.
Yep.
mine would be blue waffle or other filthy things my daughter informs me of.
And Jesse, number five.
Lastly, good yard sale price points for garbage trophies and bullshit scrapbooks.
Very good. That was the top five Google searches of your mom.
Your mom.
You guys' moms. That brings us to the fourth of five segments of this show. Dating profiles from the fictional and or non-fictional. You've all been given different people, places, you know, or things to write a dating profile from the perspective of. DJ Real, you were given a glass of juice to write a dating profile from. Lindy, you were given an 11-year-old dog to write a profile from the perspective of. And Jesse Jones, you were given Christmas time. We're going to go ahead and start with...
How do you pick these?
Drunk. Yeah. Yeah, I just do the Nazi salute, and then...
With the one finger?
Yeah,
one?
The one finger Nazi salute. It comes to me.
Okay.
So we're going to start with DJ Real. Please read us the dating profile from the perspective of a glass of juice.
All right, this was tough. Okay, well, I actually created a profile on OKJuiced. This is going to be really bad.
I love it already.
See what kind of traction I'd get. So I've seen a lot of glasses of juice profiles from all genders. The great thing about a glass of juice is that it's gender fluid.
I see.
I mean, come on. There is no other opportunity you'll be able to use that. It's a bit like Prince. Is it a boy? Is it a girl? We all know that hit Prince song, If I Was Your Glass of Juice, off the 1987 album Sign of the Vines. Sign of the times. You guys don't get it. It's fine. First, I'd like to talk about the pictures.
Yes.
The modern day juice needs to have good taste, but stay hip and ahead of the time. A picture of the glass in front of a hip mural in an alley in a gentrified neighborhood. A picture of the glass of juice being silly, carefree, and fun on Halloween, wearing an ironic Cosby sweater with little Cosby faces in the pattern saying, Roofie. You know, he's got to have a good sense of humor. It also shouldn't be afraid to show its sexy side by wearing slightly see-through glass. And this is what the profile would say.
All right.
Again, it's gender fluid, so... So, basically, I'm awesome. Deal with it. If you're short, don't waste my time. Also, I'm 6 hours old, so don't bother messaging me if you're one day old or older. I don't like creeps who prey on someone half their age. One last thing. I'm in a polyamorous relationship with a banana, a bag of ice, and a bottle of creatine. If you can't handle that, then unswipe me. It's the mid-2000s. Get with the times.
Very good, yeah. DJ Real. I thought you did well with it. Just believe in yourself. It was great. I loved it. It's going to go down in history. Lendy.
All right.
An 11-year-old dog.
11-year-old dog. I felt like I was operating at a deficit because I've never filled out like a online dating anything. So I had to go off of what friends told me.
Bragging.
I know. but me, I'm older but still young. A little grumpy, tired. I drink a lot of water. I still have all my teeth. Eyes not cloudy yet. Dander tolerable. Owners say I have princess complex and that I'm unaware I'm not a human, though I am a member of the family. I am still sexually active, though I'm spayed. I lick myself for long periods, very clean. And I occasionally like to hump stuffed animals into submission. No sharing, but watching is okay. Let's see. I'm looking for someone to nap with and bark at moving objects with. I like cat videos. I eat the taste of the wild, lamb and rice. I will do a few tricks for treats, such as cheese, carrots, and swine. My nose or my hard lines are incontinence. No ball chasing, no puppies, no children, cats, as long as they're cool. No Roomba vacuum cleaners, and I hate mops.
Very good, an 11-year-old dog. The dating profile from the perspective of 11. Jesse Jones, please write the, or have written, don't write it now.
No.
It'd be too late. Yeah. Please have written the dating profile from the perspective of Christmas time.
Well, this is a Craigslist casual encounters M4W.
Okay.
Subject, who wants more than their stocking stuffed?
Okay.
Hey, girl. You've been real nice, haven't you? Yeah. I know you have. I got a list. I'm creepy like that. So after a whole year of being nice, you about ready to get a little naughty? Yeah. It feels hella magical around here lately, don't it? You notice that? That's me, girl. I put a little twinkle in the eye, a little rosy in the cheeks. I'm all Kris Kringle in the streets and the Grinch in the sheets. What? What's that mean? Oh, well, that means when I get you in bed, I take whatever I want, yelling, this who's pussy? This who's pussy?
Who? I see.
Ain't never had a silent night in these decked-ass halls, if you know what I'm saying. So go ahead and hit me up if you got tasty cookies. You want a present from my sack. You ain't allergic to chestnuts. and you want to guide my sleigh tonight. And listen, I know I'm coming on a little strong right here. If that ain't for you, that's cool. Fa-la-la-la-la. It's just tis the season, you know? I only come once a year. So when I do, it's a big fucking deal.
Very good. That was a segment called Dating Profiles of the Fictional and or Non-Fictional. Yes, I did forget what the segment was called. We're going to go ahead and move to the last category for this first show. Don't leave, please. in between shows. This last segment is called Write an Erotic Poem About It. You were given three things to write erotic poems about. Hope you did that. DJ Real, The Invention of the Wheel. Lindy West, Pregnancy Test. Jesse Jones, How to Clean a Home. Erotic poems about all of those. We're going to go ahead and start with DJ Real, The Invention of the Wheel. Let's hear that erotic.
I mean, we all know how erotic I am. So this was easy.
You're nothing but erotic.
The Invention of the Wheel. All right. So I'm like, I'm a caveman. Here we go.
Ooh. That is sound I make when I touch you. You, piece of wood, round, hard, circle. I use T-Rex tooth to drill hole in middle of you. Big, round, wood, circle, supposed to be big butt. Primitive sex toy. My wife Janet won't let me poke her big butt with my woolly mammoth.
Janet?
So I stick my caveman ding-dong into narrow hole. After making hole in big round wood circle moist, using stegosaurus egg as lube. I thrust. I, ouch! Splinters. I try removing ding-dong from hole, but am stuck. Can't move forward. Can't move backward. I move to the right. Big round circle rotates on axis of ding-dong. Interesting. In sexy, painful sort of way. Ding-dong is twisted now upon 720-degree rotation. Maybe I can use round wood sex toy as device to evolve humanity and introduce agriculture, thus starting very beginning steps of industrial revolution. Someday future generation will look back on this erotic and monumental moment and thank me. Roses red, violets blue, love can be twisted. My ding dong too.
Very good, DJ Real.
Erotic. So erotic.
So erotic.
So erotic.
You're nothing but erotic. Very good, DJ Real. One more time. Give him a hand. It's maybe the last time you see him. You never know. You know what I mean? Time. Lindy West, please have written an erotic poem about pregnancy tests.
That was hard because I don't think there's anything really erotic about peeing on a stick. But and from my personal experience, very stressful. So I wrote it as a girl taking a pregnancy test. All right, I'll try to do sexy voice to make it more erotic. I'm 5 days late. No blood moon bane. I've got this feeling my body's not sane. Now to motivate and run to the store to get a test and overthink some more. While walking down the aisle, I see some older lady now staring at me. Funny how they put the condoms and the pregnancy test together. Whoa, that lady is still staring at me. Stop judging me, lady. It's not my fault you have to be in this aisle with me. I didn't set the store up. Just avert your eyes. Oh, I get it. You're just wondering, is she here for condoms or a pregnancy test? Pfft. standing there wondering about what point of my poor decision-making process I might be at. I'm getting a pregnancy test, okay? Oh, my God, I think I said that out loud. She's looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm just going to put my hand on a box of condoms and stare at her until she goes away. All right, she's leaving now. All right, now to pick a pregnancy test. Damn, these things are fucking expensive. The cheap one with lines is $20, and the one with actual words is $40. Is this one of those investment in my future moments? Ah, the cost of peace of mind. I'll just buy both and get the fuck out of here. Now speeding home in my getaway car, I wonder if this experience will leave a scar. Will I learn from my mistakes? Should I sit and ponder what's truly at stake? Nah, I like to fuck and I like it raw. I'm a reckless I'm a reckless woman who's got some gall. It satisfies me to take some risks and throw the dice in my midnight frisks. Now I'm home. What do I do? Do I send a text? Should I call that dude? I guess I'll wait until the test is finished. Depending on the results, there's a stress I can diminish. First, I'll do the one with the fucking lines. If that one works, I could save some dimes. Now I sit here and I pee in a cup. Universe, please don't fuck this up. Oh, I see a line. What does it mean? One line, no. Two lines, yes. I can't see the other one. It's kind of blurry. This line isn't that distinct like the main one. Shit, maybe I saturated it too much and I P-logged this fucking test. This is too much. I want to know. I'm just going to have to open the $40 one with the fucking digital results to say pregnant or not pregnant and dip it in this goddamn cup. Now I got to wait on how cute is that little digital clock thinking about my results. Buying that shower curtain was a good choice. I make great decisions. Waiting is so agonizing. Why is it taking so long? Probably because it can't find any pregnancy hormones or whatever. I'm starting to feel really at peace with everything that's happening. Everything happens for a reason, right, guys? Funny how the foretelling of my future depends on my piss on a stick. And to think this all started with some dude's dick.
Very good. Lenny West. Yay. Pregnancy test.
Pregnancy test.
That was very erotic. Very erotic. You know what? I just actually put together that you could pee in a cup and dip it in the pee in a cup. I just always pictured women squatting
right
in the yeah,
peeing
out in the field. Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
But in the movies they show.
I don't know why. Yeah. I never thought.
Pee in a cup and dip it in.
Let's
stir it. Dip it, stir it.
Have fun.
I never thought about that either.
Very good. Lenny West, one more time. Let's hear it for her. Jesse Jones, let's hear an erotic poem about how to clean a home.
This poem is titled, Call Me Mr. Clean, Sir. I can smell you down the hall when I step in through the door, your thick musk dripping down the wall, pooling on the floor. You're such a dirty, sticky mess, drippy with so much goo. How did you even get this way? I know I shouldn't, but I must confess. What I was going to do to you was all I could think about today. Get down on all fours, on my hands and my knees. Grab hold of my nozzle and give a gentle squeeze. Feel me spray when I do it. Shower you with my cleansing fluid. The rest is all just a blur. The touch of your surfaces, the feel of your wetness, wiping your smooth curves, rubbing your tight crevices.
Ooh.
And then it's over. I finally finish, chest heaving, sweat glistening, fingers raw. As I turn out the lights, basking in the afterglow, I gently whisper, see you again in 6 months or so.
Very good, Jesse Jones. an erotic poem about cleaning homes. That's the end of the first show of Stab. One more time for DJ Rio, Landy West, Jesse Jones. If you'd like to hear more Stabs, go to one of our many online outlets, the primary of which being stabforgold.com. Go to iTunes. We have like 80-something episodes up. Stitcher, SoundCloud, we're all over the place. We're also on YouTube. We recorded a couple things in the studio with TV cameras. It was really neat. Thank you guys for coming. One more time for everyone you see tonight in this first half of the show. We'll be right back with the second half of Stab. Thank you.